And it is good to be here at another convention in Ocean City. This is like my eighth or ninth in a row. And I'd like to thank my higher power first for getting me here, because just getting real, real filled up. 5 months ago on the 12th, I was undergoing open heart surgery. And my higher power has seen it fit to have me standing up here talking about how great it is not to use a drug. And I'm telling you, from a person 14 years ago who didn't give a shit where his heart was, to be able to tell you that I've been delivered from that process. And that's amazing for me. The committee here, I'd like to thank them for asking me to speak at this workshop. They know me so well that they didn't ask me until 2 days ago. So I don't have a big speech put together. I can't lie about this shit, because this is who I am. And I need to come straight with you and let you know that at first I was nervous, because I didn't want to talk about my sexuality. I didn't want to talk about how I had such low self-esteem. I didn't want to talk about any of that stuff. And my sponsor has told me so much that it's not about all that shit. It's about me not using on a daily basis. And how I have to be clear that this addiction of mine wants to kill me. I just heard in the last meeting, don't care if you gay or straight, don't care if you black or white, don't care if you fat or skinny, it wants to kill you, bottom line. So I'm just so happy to have that camaraderie first, in knowing when I'm in the room with other addicts, that doesn't matter. It says it's right in the readings. Doesn't care about your sexual identity, creed, religion, lack of religion. Just so you are here dealing with the same issue, we can help each other out. And I thank God for that. Only in Narcotics Anonymous could I find that. Couldn't find that in a Baptist church. Whew! I could sing, get anointed with oil, do flips off of the pulpit, and be called a son of a bitch at the same damn time. Just because of what I thought. In Narcotics Anonymous, though, I get an opportunity to think, and when it's wrong, I have people to say, hey, you ain't too fucking right there. You need to change it around. And see, in this program, I found out that the judgment is made to help. It's not made to hurt. That's right. It's made to give me some direction, and it's not made to tear me down. I went through a treatment center called the Venata Program up at the VA hospital in D.C., Now, there was a section of that treatment where they tore down the bullshit, which was me at the very beginning. When I came in, I was talking so much smack that they were saying, well, you don't need treatment. You need to be on a political circuit or something, with holes in my shoes, with shit stains in my drawers, still thinking I was above. And I came in like that, and I had to be torn down. I had to be told that there was another way to live. And as I went through this process of treatment, I was introduced to steps. And I was like, damn, what do I need steps for? My sponsor at that time told me, didn't you have a step to do what you had to do to inject that drug? Did you skip any of them damn steps? I was like, no. Didn't you have steps to do to cook up that substance that you cooked up to smoke in that pipe? Did you skip those steps? Hell no. So my sponsor said, well, now we have something here in the program of Narcotics Anonymous that can get you to change on a daily basis. The desire to stop using can only be taken away from you by your God, but the choice to use now is yours. And on a daily basis, my higher power hasn't given me anything that I can't stand enough to use. I've lost family members. I felt so lonely that I wanted to run out in the middle of the night and try and pick up something that wasn't right for me. I've looked in the mirror and not been very satisfied with who I've seen, but it wasn't enough to make me use. I've changed jobs and been to a point in a job where I was just ready to raise my hand up and run out of there, but it wasn't enough to use. Because I've come to meetings and have heard people tell stories that were worse than mine. And at the end, they said, but I didn't use. I was like, damn, how did they do that? Major surgeries. Finding out they had deadly diseases and stuff. But I didn't use. So I started to understand that these 12 steps here were able to guide me as long as I was willing to do something about it. And in the workshop that they asked me to do, what can I do? It's the fifth chapter in the basic text. And after the italicized portion, it tells me the first damn thing I have to do is stop getting high. Now, how can I work a step smoking a bob? Ain't gonna work. How can I turn some shit over smoking a crack pipe that I don't want to give to my next partner? I can't even turn that shit over. So it's very clear that if I'm going to get anything out of this program, the first thing I have to do is stop using. And it's a relief to know that in this chapter here, it portrays a lot of different things that we say in the rooms. It says if you can stop just for a minute, do it minute by minute. It's in here. If you have to go 5 minutes at a time, do it like that. Because I didn't think I could stay clean for 2 days. And my sponsor told me if you just do it a minute at a time until you get a day, you've got 24 hours. And that was such a blessing. That was so simple, too, because I wanted to complicate it and say, well, what would happen when I get 30 days? My sponsor's very, very graphic with me. He said, bitch, look, this is what you have to do. Do it one day at a time until you get 30 days. And then I'd run up and get these chips. And I'd see it. It'd say 30 days on it. An accomplishment I hadn't been able to do for over 25 years. And then it moved on from there. 6 months. The 9 months. When I had the year and could raise my hand, it was like a newborn person in the rooms. I was so very happy because I accomplished something for 365 days. And it made me understand that if I did what I was told, in most cases, things would go good. When I say in most cases, I can never do anything entirely. And like it says in some of the in the sixth step, we were entirely ready. Because we are addicts, they have to put entirely in there just so we can come halfway. And I'm talking about me. Because if they say we halfway were ready to have God remove these defects, I'd only do it a quarter of the way. See what I'm saying? So when they say it entirely for me, I had to make an effort. And that was so good. What can I do to show you that this program is working? In the D.C. area, there's an area where there's some male prostitution going on that I used to frequent a lot. A part of this was getting money to use my drugs. I found it necessary to be able today to go down there as a representative of a program to pass out needles, to pass out condoms, to help that area change. Because I know for me today, if I don't represent and show them what was down there and what today what can be, they'll never see what progress is. And I see God has given me this opportunity to do this. Because see, there are times when I think about still going down there doing the other practice. But because I've been given an opportunity to live today clean and sober, I can go down there and help somebody else out. And that's some of the things that I can do to make sure that this program works. I have a sponsor today that I am more comfortable with talking to than I can talk to my higher power sometimes. Because she is the type of person that when she calls me back, I'll put that in there. When she calls me back, I can get gut honest at the very beginning. I don't have to go around the mulberry bush and say, oh, well, this is a problem. I get directly to the point. And that's where I get my help. Because, see, I've faked around and joked around and pretended to be somebody else for so long that some people still don't know who Steve is. They know what I want to let them know. They know the information that I give them, but they don't know the whole deal with Steve. My sponsor does. And that's something that I have had entrusted in her since I just changed from my other sponsor over 5 years ago. Now I hear all this, oh, I have trust issues with people. I don't know if I can get trustworthy with my sponsor. But I tell you what, when that damn dope man had some goddamn good dope, I had trust in that motherfucker to give me the shit. And it dropped out the way. I didn't care who he was. Oh, yeah, I trust you. What you got, macadamia nut? Then I'll go back to him again. Because I trusted him. And now I have this big problem with trust with somebody who has clean time and says, I'm going to give out my hand to try and help you. All I want from you is honesty. What kind of shit is that? But we still go through it. And the program of Narcotics Anonymous doesn't hurt me because of that. It tells me to keep coming back. It tells me to keep getting honest and keep getting open, and then we'll still help you out. In this part here, it says developing the concept of God as we understand him is a project that we can undertake. So it's not a fear anymore of saying my higher power and Steve in the same sentence. Because for a while, it was real fearful for me. I've already been told with just the sexuality, I'm going to hell with gasoline drawers on, so I might as well not even worry about it. But today, because the Narcotics Anonymous program has said God of my understanding and has described the type of God that I'm having in my life who's caring and loving, I don't worry about that anymore. I have a good opportunity today to be able to turn my will and my life over like in the third step. These are some of the things that I can do to make sure that my recovery is kept solid, to make sure that what goes on up here doesn't act out here. Because a lot of stuff goes on up here. Oh, my God. Cox Cable ain't got shit on my brain. Nothing. They talk about meditation, and then they say you're supposed to be still when you meditate. I have a problem with that. When I am conscious, there is something going on up in here. And see, what happens is I listen to other people on how they have learned to still their mind, and I practice that, and it starts to work. All I have to do is be willing to listen and then follow some directions. This is called the hidden chapter, because after you've worked these 12 damn steps, it's like you don't want to read no more shit. After you've been assigned to work through all this stuff, you don't want to read anymore. But like I said, this tells us a lot of stuff that we talk about in here. It says a meeting a day at the beginning for at least the first 90 days of recovery is a good idea. It wasn't put to me as gently as that. It was said your ass will go to 90 meetings in 90 days. And you don't have any recourse. And even still, when I start to act the ass, my sponsor will tell me again, 90 meetings in 90 days. Why do you think they say that? There has been nothing that has been proven in my life to help me stay clean on a regular basis but by going to a meeting. I've tried everything. Psychiatrist, yoga, all that stuff. It didn't help me stay clean. The rooms of Narcotics Anonymous, for some reason, thank God, has blessed me with an opportunity to talk about those issues that may cause me to be triggered to use. Because, see, nothing really makes me use but me. But there can be some things that trigger me to act out. Trigger me to put myself in situations where using can become a valuable option right away. And then all I need is the money, and then all I need is the product. I know how to make the money, and I know where to find the fucking product. So I stay away from those things by changing my behavior and coming into a meeting and talking about what's going on. I have a home group where people know if I come in there looking sad, they will definitely come to me and say, Steve, what's going on? If I don't show up, you better understand that they're going to call me and find out what's going on. The other reason is because I'm the treasurer of the meeting. Okay, yeah, they're going to call me then too. They're definitely going to give me a ring if they don't see me. Okay, now I'm going to read some more from here. Okay, gradually, we replace old habits with new ways of living. We become willing to change. We go to meetings regularly. We get and use telephone numbers. I used to get a whole book of numbers. I ain't using none of them. What can I do? Use them damn numbers. What is more saving, now, and I'm asking myself that question, than in the middle of the night at 2 o'clock in the morning when you're feeling your lowest to be able to pick a telephone up and call somebody and get cursed out, but then at the end they say, keep coming back. My God, I never had this while I was using. I couldn't even pick a phone up and call my dope man and he would say anything nice to me at that time in the morning. But in Narcotics Anonymous, to have some phone numbers and some people on the other end that are saying, okay, you can get through this. It's going to be okay. I've gone through this myself. This is how you get through it. And share their experience with you before they say goodnight. And then they tell you at the end, you don't have to use no matter what. I thought I was destined to die using. I thought Steve Odom, destined to die, that was my story. Because, see, using was something that made me different from what I wanted to be. Because I was never satisfied with what was going on inside here. But those drugs made me change. Those drugs made me change to whoever you wanted me to be. And today, with the help of this program, it gives me an opportunity to be who Steve is and be okay with it. Another tool for the newcomer is involvement with the fellowship. As we become involved, we learn to keep the program first and take it easy in other matters. So there's a program and then there's a fellowship. So there's a difference. When EU is playing tonight, I plan on being fellowshipping in the dance. Okay. When the karaoke thing is going on, I plan on being fellowshipping in there. Because, see, I thought I couldn't have fun and not get high. I equated having a good time with getting high. Without a doubt. Get me a blunt, I'm okay. Get me some crack, I'm in a corner, but I'm okay. You know, that's the insanity of my thought process when drugs were in my system. Today I realize that getting high is not the thing that makes me happy. I've been up here since Sunday with one of my sponsees in a 4-bedroom Bayside house enjoying myself. It rained from Monday until Thursday. Do you think I didn't sleep like I was a damn teddy bear? I enjoyed it. I really had a good time. I felt myself just opening up. And then when my other sponsees came out, and I want them to hear that, the sun came out. You know, and see, this is what God does for me. He reveals things to me when I want to get all by myself and when I want to isolate, that there's more love around when people come up. And today is beautiful because God knows that we as addicts will look for the most minute stuff to say, fuck it. I ain't coming up here. But for the last 5 years I've been coming here, it has rained the first 3 days of the week, and then Friday, Saturday, or Sunday, it's been nice. Can y'all attest to it? Because they know that this is what we need. Our higher power knows that this is what we need. And for the rest of my time here, as long as this convention is going on, what can I do? I can bring my ass to a convention. I can show other people for their first time being here that this thing works. Slimy, dope fiend like me can achieve some time. And some people don't like to talk about time, but let me tell you, 14 years without a drug in my body is a miracle. And I'm okay saying that today. But I know it's just as fragile as one day away. But the achievement that my higher power and I have made for 14 years is unbelievable. It's unbelievable. Now, see, this is my agreement on this side of the 14 years. But do you understand my higher power was with me those 25 years before? My higher power was looking after me well before I was ready to get conscious contact with him. And today, when I'm conscious, I make sure I have conscious contact with my higher power. This is just some of the things that I can do. We all have, and I was talking with my sponsor last night about the difference is, in recovery is different for each addict. There are some similarities, don't use, go to meetings, pray, get a sponsor, that we all have. But what keeps us clean sometimes is an individual effort on what we should be doing in this program. Is an individual commitment to say, I'm not picking up today. Because, see, we aren't always around our network. We are not always around our sponsors. And sometimes that opportunity will kick up to where God is the only resource of strength that we have that we can draw from to say, please help us not use. And I'm saying this for me, if you don't stay consciously contact with it, your ass is gone. And I've experienced that in my time. Because it is no way that I can drive around where I drive. I've got a little sign that says calm down right in my peripheral vision because I'm very crazy behind the wheel. That when I want to kill somebody with a car, that I can't call on my sponsor on the cell phone and say, hey, look, sponsor, I'm really having a problem here. I call on God. I call on my higher power. And it works for me. And it really works for me. Another part here, it says, we have found it helpful to have a sponsor to use. Now, I want y'all to hear this. Sponsorship is a two-way street. It helps both the newcomer and the sponsor. The sponsor's clean time and experience may well depend on the availability of sponsors in the locality. Sponsorship for newcomers is also the responsibility of the group. Now, that's what happened. I wanted to pick the finest man in the world to be my sponsor. I was looking. I was taking out applications. What do you do? Where do you work? And the people at the VA hospital said, that's your sponsor. And I was like, wait a minute, hold on. I thought I'm supposed to choose a sponsor. They said, your fucking picker is broken. I mean, I never knew what that meant until I got some clean time and realized that every relationship that I picked was a bad relationship. Every relationship that I wanted to turn everybody from Narcotics Anonymous away from telling me, hey, you shouldn't be with him, I wanted to keep. So that showed me after a while that my picker was broken. And I am so glad that they picked somebody for me instead of having me pick on my mental state what should be my sponsor, who should be my sponsor. Today we seek solutions, not problems. We try what we have learned on an experimental basis. That sounds like what I was doing with acid. Trying it on an experimental basis to get a conscious contact with something. You know? But this is the program of Narcotics Anonymous. It says today we seek solutions, not problems. We try what we have learned on an experimental basis. So I'm trying this on an experimental basis, and it's been working. I'm giving people who I look at and say, oh, they're talking shit, an opportunity to guide me, an opportunity to show me what's going on, even if I think that what they're saying is the most outrageous stuff in the world. They've told me to do it, and I've done it, and I've turned out okay. Because I was willing to try and get some help. I was willing to change like it says we must. I was willing to be comfortable with taking a chance and experiment on somebody else's knowledge instead of mine. And that really scared me. When they said experiment, you know, when they said experiment in here, I said, oh, I don't know if I'm too comfortable with that. But again, I have a sponsor that does this show me shit. You know, and my sponsor was saying, well, you experimented with a lot of stuff. You had an experiment where a non-medical person had a hypodermic needle and stuck you in the neck with a substance you ain't know what the fuck was. Experiment your ass on that. And I have to understand that if I want this thing, what this book tells me is to experiment with the power of this program. Experiment with the way the program has worked for countless other people. Why should I be so different to say it's not going to work for me? Why should I change this program and say, well, maybe I should experiment with it something else, so another way? So I find it clear that this message is for me to understand. Now, here's the last part I'm going to read. The 12 steps are used as a program of recovery. We learn that we can go to our higher power for help in solving problems. When we find ourselves sharing difficulties that used to have us on the run, we experience good feelings that give us strength to begin seeking God's will for us. Isn't that great? Isn't that great? The answer to all of our problems are in the steps. What can I do? I can work the steps. I can start with one and not skip to four. I can start with one, go to two, three, then go to four, and don't skip to 10. I cannot start off at 8 and 9 because every once in a while I want to make amends and some people ain't ready to say okay. In the very beginning, I went to people wanting to make amends and nearly got hurt. That's why the steps are in order. Because they give us an opportunity, number one, to make a base of recovery. To get a base of being clean. And then being connected with people who can give you the green light to go here. The okay to do this. The whole sign on this. Because, see, if I went on my own desire, I would put the 12 step first because I thought at 5 months I had a message that I could carry to somebody. And I was at this club called the Metropolis Club, and they said, sit your fat ass down. And I got hurt. I got hurt because I didn't think they should be talking to me like that. And they said, when we want to get high, we'll call on you. Things like that. So I am ready to give you all the true understanding about what I can do. And that's on a daily basis. Don't pick up. Follow my sponsor's advice. Help somebody with no strings attached. And keep coming back. Thanks for letting me share.
Now we will have, for our second speaker, I'll give you Al. I'm an addict. My name's Alan. It's good to be here. Thank you very much, Steve. Thanks for sharing. And thanks, too, to John, the convention chair, to Kathy down at registration, to Wayne for asking me to get up here and do this. I'll tell you right now, I didn't audition for this. So, you know, if you hear it for a while and you think there's an amateur up here at the microphone, that's fine. Y'all can leave. There's another workshop going on. I'll tell you, that it's even worse than that. What I want to talk about, because the answer is, the question is, what can I do? The answer is work the steps. So what I want to talk a little bit about is working the steps. And it's not too late to leave. You know, one reason, of course, here's the way I start off with new sponsees that come in. You know, I ask them a couple of questions. I go, why are you here? Who are you? You know, what do you think Narcotics Anonymous is going to be able to do for you? You know, and when I say I do that, I learn from somebody that, I have them write this down because I want to use it against them later. You know, I want to be able to show up and say, look, when I said, who are you? You said, I'm an addict. It's like right here in black and white. I didn't write this shit down. You wrote it down. You know, and if you're an addict, that's going to mean something. If you're an addict, what it's going to mean is that you have the disease of addiction. Because the program is not just about people who accidentally got high and ran into something. You know, I mean, you know what I'm saying? If you shot dope and nodded, well, that's what shooting dope does. You know, and if that was your problem, if that was your consequence, I don't get it. You know, now it's okay if you didn't. I'm not telling you what drugs you should have used or what drugs you shouldn't have used. All I'm telling you is that what I'm looking for is, are you an addict? Do you have the disease of addiction? That's really where I'm coming from on that. Because if you don't, I don't get how you're going to connect with the steps. Because that's the level on which I connect with the steps. You know, why are you here? Well, you know what I listen for when I talk to somebody and say, write down, why are you here? It's, do you have a spiritual problem that a spiritual, not religious program known as Narcotics Anonymous can fix? Because if you don't have a spiritual problem, then you're come to the wrong place. If you have consequences, if your mom is upset with you because you're hanging out in the basement at 35 and you're smoking pot all day playing video games, you know, you might be an addict, but we need to connect with the spiritual problem. Because if you don't connect with the spiritual problem, you won't find, you won't think about, you won't allow a spiritual solution to happen. And what do you think Narcotics Anonymous can do for you? I will tell you, if you think that Narcotics Anonymous is going to open up the gates of heaven and let you in, you are in the wrong place. My sponsor and his sponsor says, Narcotics Anonymous will probably open up the gates of hell and let you out. But it ain't going to open up the gates of heaven and let you in. You know, I mean, that is another program, and I hope you find yours, you know. So really the deal is, before you even get to step one, There are these, who are you? What do you want? And what do you think we can do to help? You know, and that's real. I mean, that is real. So, you know, what can I do? I remember when I got here I read the basic text. Actually, they didn't have this edition that I have now. I used the third edition. But they had just come out with the first edition. And looking at that, chapter 5 was the answer. Chapter 4 was the steps. And it's like, that's backwards. And then I'd read through, and because, you know, obviously chapter 5 starts off with, well, do the steps. And it's like, well, why didn't you tell me that in the first place? You know? And it's because, well, you know, it's because we wanted to get you to know what the steps were first. And that does make sense. It does now to me make sense. And the reason it makes sense to me is because the program of Narcotics Anonymous, if you get to the very end of recovery and relapse, it will tell you that the program of Narcotics Anonymous is the steps. And that's really what we're trying to get you to. And the answer, the ultimately, you know, the promise that I can make to you that comes out of our basic text is that I'll say our because I think it's true, but it's certainly true, my deepest longings and image of the kind of person that I want to be is but a fleeting glimpse of God's will for me. Now that's the answer. That's like way down the road. You're going to get someplace where you feel like that is you. And in the meantime, in order to be able to get there, we're going to do a lot of meeting with, talking with, and helping other addicts. And that's kind of the road that we're going to be doing. The first step for me, and the reason, one of the reasons I have the guys that I sponsor write this stuff out, is the first step for me, which says that I'm powerless over my addiction, that my life had become unmanageable. I want to know why it is that you came to Narcotics Anonymous, and I think your story is going to tell us that. And this is what I tell them. I say, if you want to talk about, we will talk about your story. This is the place. It's not the fourth step for me. It's the first step. I want you to tell me what happened. Who'd you do it with? And I don't really care in the sense of I'm not going to sit down and try and meet your connections. I'm not going to go look up your old girlfriends. I'm not going to try and borrow money from your sugar daddy. What I want to know is, did you have one? You know, who were these people that were important to you? And I don't really care about names, but I want to be able to identify them. And the reason is because when we start talking about your addiction, I want you to be able to put names and faces and places and dates next to it, because I want you to tell me the truth. This is not a place to start lying. You know, I want to know the real deal. And so in the first step, when I hear that you're powerless over your addiction, I want to know what you did to call yourself powerless over your addiction. Because for real, you guys, you walk out there in public and say, "Hi, my name is Alan, I'm an addict," and you know what? That's not a compliment. They're going to look at you like, that's a damn shame. You know, it's like you walk out there and say, "I am just dumb as a rock and hit myself in the head repeatedly." They're going to go, "That's a bad thing." And you know what? If you say, "I'm an addict," that's what they hear. You know? And so if you're going to insult yourself like that in my presence, I want to know why. I want to know what your deal is. You know? Why are you calling yourself a damn addict? Because if there is any way that we could fix you without making you go through the process, I think you should try it. There was no way I could fix me without going through the process. I'll tell you, that's why I'm still here. That's why I'm here. That's why it works for me. And if you get there, then you can get to the second step, which is, you know, do you believe that there is a plan out there, that the universe somehow or another is big enough for you to survive within? Do you get that there is a way that you can, in fact, connect up with yourself and with others and with life, that it's not hopeless, that you are not, you know, you're not powerless over life, that you don't have to use to solve the problem? Because I will tell you that the second step for me was difficult in a way, and it was difficult because I thought that second step was about how do I balance my checkbook, and how do I get up and go to work in the morning, and how do I get my parents off my back, and how do I get a girlfriend, and how do I, you know, I thought it was a kind of how do I sort of a guide. And what I've learned is that it is a It is a hope step. It is a hope step because, you know what, the reason I used was because, what the fuck, who cared? Who cared? You know what? I am not going to put up with this anymore. Whatever this was, it's like, I don't care anymore. I am going to get high, and I don't care. You know? And that's what my using, you know, that sort of at the basis of my using, there was a lot of that going on. And what I needed to know that who cared, there is a universe that cares. There is a God in your life that cares. That worked for me. There is a higher power who has, in fact, orchestrated this stuff so that it works even for you. So who cares? The fact is, you know, a lot of people probably. There are probably, you probably in fact have parents who care and friends who care. And the real deal is, Alan, you probably care. Now maybe not the Alan today, but tomorrow's Alan's going to be upset that today's Alan didn't care about tomorrow's Alan. You know? So the fact is, Alan, who cares? You care. And so, you know, what you need now to know is that there is a path that can work. And the third step, you know, did you ever think the third step was backwards? What I mean is the 11th step. Now, here's my dope fiend mentality. And you know, the 11th step says, I seek through prayer and meditation, or however I do it, to improve my conscious contact with God, which, however that works. Why? So that I can gain knowledge of God's will for me and the power to carry it out. So in the 11th step, I figure out what it is God wants me to do and how I go about doing it. And then in the third step, it says, and then I make a decision to turn my will and my life over to the care of God. Now, doesn't it seem backwards? Doesn't it seem like you should know what's expected of you before you make a decision? Doesn't it seem to know, you should know how to do it before you're expected to make a decision that you're going to do it? It seemed perfectly logical to me, but it doesn't work that way. Why? Because this is not supposed to be a perfectly logical program. You know, I've gone from having a spiritual disease that I think that Narcotics Anonymous might be able to help me with, to having a little bit of hope that I can live in this world and stay clean, and that who cares? Well, I care. You know, my family cares. God cares. There is something out there, so I have some hope. And now the deal is I need to do some actions. Well, the reason for the third step being in front of the 11th step, in my opinion, is that we can think all we want, but we need to live our way into a new way of thinking if we want to stay clean. Need to do the actions first. The reason, you know, I like Steve was saying, my picker's broke. Boy, you know, that's so true in so many areas. You know, you got to live your way into a new way of thinking so that you know what it is you ought to be thinking, so you can get some idea about what you ought to be doing. You know? Now, and the deal with the third step says you turn your will and your life over to the care of God as you understand God. That's not really hard, you know. I mean, the fact is, what it is you, to turn my life over is to do what I'm supposed to do. You know, 90 meetings in 90 days is a good idea. Well, you should do good ideas, Alan. Okay, see, there's a set of actions there. So 90 meetings in 90 days is something I should do. Why? Because it's a good idea. Why? Because I should do good things. I should do good ideas. Okay, now I know what to do, but I don't like it. That's the second part of the third step. Turn your will over to the care of God. I don't know about you guys, but I thought, you know what? This may be the one where it's like, turn my will over to the guards, you know, and go ahead and take me away. You know, and it turns out not. It's worse. Oh, it's tons worse. It's like, you know, what we're asking is, we want you to go to 90 meetings in 90 days. We want you to sit down and write out the steps. That's what I ask of my sponsees. That's what was asked of me. We want you to be, you know, to not do anything you think until you pass it by me. You know, we want you to do this. And Alan, I want you to like it. I want you to like it. Turn your will over. It's like, quit being so willful and say, no, I can't do that. Or I ain't going to do that kind of stuff. I'm not about that. Or you can make me do it, but I don't have to like it. You know? I mean, I was saying that for a long time. And we know that's true, but so what? The fact is, if you want recovery, what we're asking is the harder commitment. We're asking you to like it. And how do we know that you'll like it? How do we know that this is something that you're willing to do? Our basic text tells us. If you do it, well, if you do what we say and you're willing to be able to become the person that these actions cause you to become. Now, what kind of person is that? Well, they're a meeting-going kind of a person. They're a person who sits down and writes out what's going on in their life before they do it. They're the kind of person who has a network and talks about people before they go out and commit themselves. You know, you don't need the new car, the new job, the new girl. You don't need all that stuff yet. At least you don't need it until you've talked to somebody else about it. You know, you are going to become the kind of person who doesn't just throw yourself into the fire and say, God, it's hot. You know, we're asking you to be a different kind of person. And how are we going to know that happens? Well, there's a couple of things that are going to happen. One is you're going to work a four-step. I didn't make this up, people. I'm sorry. It's in our basic text. It says, if you have thoroughly done the third step, you are now ready to go on to the fourth step. Well, then you are now ready to go on to the fourth step. If you believe that you are not ready to go on to a fourth step, then ask yourself why you're not doing the third step. And again, it's, you know, I didn't have to make that stuff up. I don't think I could have, you know. And I tell that to some of my sponsees, and they're like, oh, man, you are harsh. It's a sort of Narcotics Anonymous step Nazi kind of a thing, you know. And I'm like, dude, I'm, you know, you're the one who told me you're an addict. You know what? An addict, somebody with the disease of addiction, doesn't have the choices that somebody who just simply used a little bit awkwardly does. You know, somebody with the disease of addiction has this, you know, a fatal and progressive illness. And this illness gets worse unless you're getting better. If you are not working the steps, this is my experience. If when I was not working the steps, my disease was getting worse. It's not, there is no neutral here. You know, you can't stand and watch it go by. And I don't care why it is you're not working the steps. I had a great reason for not working the steps. I was working full-time and going to school at night. I was going to school four nights a week. I was taking 15 credits. I was doing great. I was studying the entire weekend. I wasn't getting to that many meetings. I was getting to some when I catch as catch can. You know, I wasn't working the steps. And you know what? It doesn't matter how good it was that all this stuff I was doing for me, I got worse. I got sicker. And I will tell you, when it came time to graduate, I decided I would engage in some behavior that it's a miracle I didn't use over. You know? And I don't want to tell you who her name is. it's not nice to her. You know, I'm hoping she's going to come in here someday. And but I will tell you, what I did was I went out there and I just decided to find one. You talked about finding a sponsor. I will tell you this. I find myself attracted to your defects more than I find myself attracted to your assets. You know? And so when I find somebody that I am really, really gut level, bone marrow, in my soul of souls attracted to, she's a sick one. It has always been true. And when I wanted to go out and find my sponsor, it was 1985. I was looking around for a sponsor. The first sponsor I found was a girl. That didn't last too long. The second sponsor I found, they said, how do I find a sponsor? They said, Alan, I want you to pray about it. And when you pray about it, you will find your sponsor. You may not like it. And they were both right and wrong. I prayed about it, and I saw this guy, and I knew at that instant, I knew that he was going to be my sponsor. And I will tell you, from then to now, he still is. And I knew he was going to be my sponsor. And you know what? All the things, when I sat down and said, why do I want him to be my sponsor? It's because he sounds good. He's got a great-looking wife. But she used to be a showgirl in Las Vegas, and she had legs, and she'd wear these really short things in the meetings. And, you know, they just got married, and they were all, oh, my God, I wanted what he had. And, You know, he had his own business, which means he actually had an income. I couldn't conceive of what that was like at the time. And so, you know, I wanted what he had. What I didn't really know anything about, and it turned out that it's been all the reasons for why I'm glad he's my sponsor, is all the other stuff, you know. His willingness to say, I don't know, but let's try, let's work it out. And his willingness to be able to say, did you write about it? His willingness to be able to say, you know, let's... heck if I know, let's go find somebody who does that, you know, and other spiritual, profoundly spiritual things, which you'll do with me. But at the time, what I liked about him was my defect. Someplace I still have that list of things I wrote down about him that I liked about him, and it is just too funny for words. It is truly all about the defects. And I have had people come up to me and say, Alan, would you sponsor me? And the first thing that goes in my mind is, what defect of mine do you think I'm getting away with? You know, I have learned that as I am here in Narcotics Anonymous, the longer I'm here, the narrower the road gets. I mean, I go out there, if I see you throw down a piece of paper or something like that, you know, if I start saying, oh, you are such a slob, I can't believe you're doing that, you're dirtying up my world, yada, 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 I'll be driving down the road, a piece of paper will fly out of my car and a cop will arrest me for littering. You know, I mean, the road gets narrower as you go down the road, you know. And so when somebody comes up and says, will you sponsor me? I think, my God, what defect am I not working on? You know, I really so wish I had them hidden. Because, you know, a lot of it is that you see somebody and you say, they're getting away with something and I want to get away with it too. You know, that sponsor of mine with the cute girl, I was thinking, I know that he's got a lot of the same problems I do with everything. You know, I mean, he's the kind of dope fiend that I was. And he's got the pretty girl. He did something to capture that one. And I want to learn how to capture one too, you know. And the fourth step will get you into touch with almost all of that. I sort of took a long route to be able to get here. But I will tell you, the fourth step, when I talk about it with my sponsees, goes as follows. I want a moral inventory. I already have your life story. We did that in step one. I want a moral inventory. You say you're honest. What does that mean to you? What is honesty? Does honesty mean I want you to tell me the truth, absolute truth, uncensored, and I will tell you what I think you need to hear? Is that your moral standard? You know, integrity. It's like if I plan something and it's important to me, you better show up. But if I'm a little bit late, you ought to forgive me. Is that your moral standard? I mean, what are these morals that you have? How honest are you? How much integrity do you have? What kind of commitments do you keep? I want to know. You know, not because I want to bust you out on it. You know, your morality is your morality. You know, do you think you can go out there and have just sort of casual relationships? You know, three at a time or do serial monogamy or whatever works for you? That's okay. I mean, you can do what you want to do. I want to know what you're going to do. And I want you to articulate it. I want you to tell me what it is that your morality is. And we're going to write it down. Why? Because I want to be able, when you go and do something, I want two things to be able to happen. One is I want you to be able to change your moral view. I want you to be able, you know, are you the kind that needs to be brutally honest with anybody? You know, it's like, honey, am I fat? Yeah, you are, you know, got to go on a diet. You know, are you that kind of a person? Well, you can be that kind of person if you want. I don't suggest it, but you can be that kind of person if you want, but I want to know, because in the future we might want to change. Why? Because if it causes you enough pain, we probably should change. And we probably need to go to the standards that you live by to know where the change needs to happen, you know? I mean, and so I want to write it down, and I have heard all kinds of stuff, and you know what, that's not a bad thing. I'm just telling you, I've heard all kinds of stuff, and I have heard people getting away with stuff that I couldn't do, you know, and that's okay. I'm not going to judge you on that. It's just I need to know so that we can talk about it, so we have a foundation. And one other thing, in the fifth step it says, can you turn to the God of your understanding and say, oh, by the way, I do this? You know, can you say that? Can you say, you know what, I'm having sex with a couple of different girls. I don't know how many they've had sex with and how many they've had sex with. And so I don't know if any of us have anything and I haven't been tested. But we're having sex because I like it. You know, it's like, okay, that's your moral standard. You know, let's put that down on the list. See if it hurts. You know, can you turn to God and say, that's okay? I'm okay with that, God. If so, let's move on. But bear in mind, we might want to come back to it. You know, and what I have found is when you turn to people and you turn to them and say, and this is a good example, the sex one, about you turn to them and say, you didn't like it when I asked you to turn to God and say that you're having sex with people and you don't know if you have any STDs. Why don't we go get tested? You know, how willing are you to be able to confront this and deal with it? You know, in fact, all of your moral inventory needs to be examined in that light. You know, how willing are you to be able to look at it? That's your sixth step. You know, because if you're not willing to look at it, let's stop right here. You know, because either A, you haven't told me the truth and you're embarrassed about the fact that you lied to me about it. Because if you told me the truth, then you're going to be okay with telling God the truth. And if you haven't told me the truth, then you're not going to tell God. You're going to be hiding it. And so when you say it, you're going to be lying and we'll both know and so will God. And so you'll get to the sixth step and you won't be willing to change this thing. Why? Because now you've already wrapped your ego around it. And there is no impenetrable barrier like an ego. It absolutely can't break through that thing. And so until you get honest and quit lying about what it is you really believe, there's no way to change it. No way. I'll know whether or not you were lying and whether or not you were willing to change it and whether or not you're being honest. Because when we get to the seventh step, you know what you're going to get out of the seventh step? A profound sense of your own humanity. Ain't none of us perfect roses. Not a one. You know, I mean, none that I've ever encountered. I'm sorry, I don't know you all. You know, but I will tell you, I certainly am not, and nobody who would ask me to sponsor them is. I already told you they like me for my defects. If they like me for my defects, then they've got their own. And you know what? None of us be perfect. And what you come out of is this profound sense of, oh my God. You know, I am so lucky to even be here. I just don't, you know. If there was justice, I wouldn't be here. I so like the word mercy, you know. That's my seventh step. I'm going to go, eighth and ninth are exactly what you think they are. For some people, they're your worst nightmare. Yes, you have to pay the money back. I don't know. For some people, that's not such a big deal, to tell you the truth. Some people do 8 and 9, and it's not a problem for them. For some people, it is. 10 and 11 is where we start getting back to God's dreams for us. You know, and so this is why 11 comes after 3. It's because once you've cleared all that away, you can now get back to what are your goals and dreams and visions for yourself. And are you willing to believe that God's vision for you is better than you? Better than your own vision. And why is that important? It means that quit running the show. See, 11 is, we sought through prayer and meditation to have God improve our conscious contact with God as we understand and praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. Whew. What that means is, that is where your control issues got to stop. You don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. What we want you to do is the next right thing today and every today from now on. If you get a call in the middle of the night that says you need a 12-step call, the right thing is not to jump in your car and go do it. The right thing is to call another addict and the two of you go. You know, why? Because the right thing is two addicts go on 12-step calls. You can go alone, but I suggest you don't, but and our book suggests you don't. And the 12 step says that we really want you to practice these principles in all your affairs and to get out there and show the world that you are, you account for something. And if you do those actions, you won't know what the product will be. In other words, it is a lot like, I've been clean now for 18 years, it is a lot like walking through the dark. I really, really, really don't know who I'm going to be when I grow up. The only thing I can tell you is I don't care anymore. I've gotten to a point where, you know what, it's going to be better than anything that I'd ever had. It is now better than anything I have ever had. And so I work the steps, and so I come to NA, and I work the steps with my sponsees. And every now and then I take my sponsor out to dinner. Thanks for letting me share. Thank you.